Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been talking about the armor of God, and we've learned about putting on the whole armor of God. We've learned about the importance of the belt of truth and standing on truth to keep the rest of our armor in place. We've learned about the breastplate of righteousness that covers us, that's activating the righteousness Jesus has given us, living a holy life, and shoes for our feet so that we can stand our ground when the enemy comes to attack. And then we talked about last week the shield of faith, that we lift up that 4-foot by 2-foot thing that covers everything that we can hide behind and hook together with our brothers and sisters, and we can quench the fiery darts of the devil. But there's one other area. You might think physically the devil can attack us, and he does. But there's one area that he moves in mightily, and that is the mind. And when we look at today, there's a study that was done back in 2002. George Barna put it together. And he conducted a survey of self-pronounced Christians, and here's what he found about their knowledge of the Bible. And these are Christians, and this is back in 1992, so you can imagine the state of it now. 48% could not name the 4 Gospels. 52% could not identify more than 2 or 3 of Jesus' disciples. 60% of American Christians can't name even 5 of the 10 Commandments, which is very scary. 61% of American Christians think the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. 71% of American Christians think God helps those who help themselves, is a Bible verse. George Barna said, Americans revere the Bible, but by large they don't know what it says, and because they don't know it, they become a nation of biblical illiterates. And it's no wonder that we don't know how to fight and don't know how to stand against evil, because the battle takes place in the mind. Lifeway research has found 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. Almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible, essentially the same number who read it every day. Now think about that. Think about the power that lies behind this special gift. And he says in our text today, in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. This is an important piece of the armor. Why? Because it protects the mind. It protects our thought life. It protects what we believe and how we carry out our actions in this life. When we were kids, and perhaps some of us can relate to this more, we didn't wear seat belts. I remember pushing the limit on my grandmother in the back of that red, bright cherry red Caprice Classic. And I thought, well, I'm with Grandma. I was 3 or 4 years old. I can see how I can push the limit. So I was in that back seat, jumping up and down on that back, those big back seats. You can get some air on those. They don't make cars like that anymore. But she went around a curve or hit a bump, and I hit my head. And she said, "There, see what happens when you jump in the car." And many of us have ridden our bikes over ramps without wearing helmets or any protective gear like that. Most of us have survived, but even though we survived riding our bikes without a helmet, no one today would consider that, right? Everybody wears a helmet because studies have shown that over 50,000 lives are saved each year because of wearing a helmet. Now, back in those days, we didn't care about that, but we didn't know. But now that we know, we put on a helmet to protect your head. Now that you know, and that you're going to learn, the importance of the helmet of salvation, I'm going to charge you and encourage you that we help each other put it on. So why do we need this helmet of salvation today? First of all, we need protection because the enemy is constantly trying to cripple our thought patterns with fear and worry. These are some of the biggest enemies that keep us from functioning as our fullest as men and women after God's heart. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We are in fear of, well, if I do this, what is going to happen? It's the attack of the mind, and the devil loves worry and fear. We need protection. Secondly, why do we need a helmet of salvation? We need truth because the enemy is constantly plaguing our minds with lies. And we've talked about this, and we talked about the belt of truth and the importance of that it holds everything together. But now we're going to take it to a more personal level. Is I want you to begin to ask yourself today, what lies do I believe about myself that keep me from sharing Christ with my neighbors? It could be lies like, well, I didn't go to Bible school. I've heard that many times as a pastor. Who cares? Who gives a rip whether you've been to Bible school or not? You have a Bible. You have salvation. And so those are all lies that cripple. Well, I think there's someone else better qualified to do that than me. And it gets much worse. We believe lies about ourselves that we're not adequate, we're not equipped, and it leads to all kinds of unhealthy behaviors in our life. We need truth because the enemy is constantly plaguing our minds with fear. Third, we need confidence because the enemy will constantly try to get you to doubt your salvation in Christ. How many in here who are saved and have a faith in Jesus Christ have doubted your salvation? I think almost every single one of our hands can go up. We have those times. Well, you know, you just cussed that guy out going down the road. Are you really saved? You just had a drag-out fight with your spouse. Are you really saved? And you know the amazing thing about that is we sin more when we doubt our salvation. We say, well, I'm not saved, so I might as well just give in. We need confidence because the enemy will constantly try to get us to doubt. Number four, we need hope. Because the enemy wants us to focus our minds on the present chaos that's going on. And we don't have to read the news very far and look at what's happened in the political campaign today to know that there is literal chaos in society. We don't have to look very far, even outside of our families, to know that there's trials and there's difficult things. And the devil wants us to focus on the present chaos rather than our hope. So what is this helmet of salvation? Now if you'd turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. A very familiar verse here today, but it's a very important and very key to understanding the helmet of salvation. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." Now, the word saved there is in the perfect passive participle. I hated English. I hated talking about all those things. But for us to understand that, that really means you have been saved and the results continue on. And what the devil wants you to forget is that you've won, number one, have been saved. Number two, that you're continuing to be saved. That God is continuing to work in your life. And that comes to our focus, is that we need to keep looking up. First of all, is our testimony. I love that passage in Revelation 12:11. It says they overcame the evil one, or the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Testimony. You realize the power of your testimony, the helmet of salvation, to beat the devil. We overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, to say that I am washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I testify today that I am saved. The next time the devil comes and begins to point you the doubt of salvation, you say, back in when I was 5 years old, I asked my grandmother how to come to Christ, what it meant to be saved. And she led me to the Lord, and I prayed. And then when I got to college, I understood the gospel clearly, and I could see God working in my life. That's when you begin to testify. When the devil points those things at you, start to testify. Start to speak what God has done in your life. Start to declare the day that you were saved and what God has done throughout the history. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your word has power. Your testimony has power. And you don't go to Bible school to get a testimony. You go to Jesus to get a testimony. And He offers it to us freely without any of our works, with nothing to do to us. That is our testimony. That is the power of the gospel in our life. It is the power of protection that I am saved. Devil can't take you to hell. You're saved. He might be able to peck at you. He might be able to hurt you physically. He might be able to even take your life, but he can't take your soul. And this is the truth that the previous generations held to. And when we look at society today, when I look at my own life, we are so inundated with psychological issues and problems. We have a label for everything. Well, I'm this and I'm that. Why is it, I looked at my grandparents and say, why is it that it seems like they struggled, they worked hard, but they had a whole lot less psychological issues that paralyzed them? It's because they banked and believed, they had their minds focused on some truth, what we have forgotten today because we're a society that doesn't believe in truth anymore. Remember our testimony. But not only is it our testimony, but it also has to do with our identity and position in Christ, the telescope of truth. Here is where biblical literacy comes to importance. Here's where knowing the Word of God takes full effect. When you're lost in the woods, probably none of you have experienced that. We don't use binoculars anymore, right? We have GPS. So let's throw away the telescope of truth here, and we'll do the GPS of truth. We'll catch up to date here. I'm still, you know, a little in the past. It had to be a T word to rhyme. Telescope of truth. Well, not rhyme. T and T. Telescope of truth. There you go. There's the nerdy side of me coming out. Here's where we need to pull out our GPS to find out who we are. When the devil tells you or someone else tells you that you are a piece of trash or garbage and that you're not worth anything, here's where the telescope of truth has to come out. We need to find out what God's Word says. If you would turn a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such are some of you. Is that what it says? It says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of your God. This is where we go, folks. Anybody have any addictions or issues in your life that you're working through? Character flaws, character deficiencies, All of us should raise our hands, maybe to both of them, and I'll raise my toes too. But the next time the devil comes and labels you as you're a drunk, you're a drug addict, you're an angry person, you're a you're a rebellious person, you're a homosexual, you're an idolater, you're this. Look what God's Word says. He says, as such were some of you. And this is where our position and identity in Christ comes in, is that we declare what God's Word says about us. Because if we keep focusing on those labels and on those things and saying, I'm this and I'm that, and that's why I don't really like it when people that are Christians say, I'm an alcoholic and I've been an alcoholic for 10 years. No, I am a believer in Jesus Christ and I am overcoming. That's such was me back then, but look what God is doing in my life. It is an identity issue and it's an identity problem, and that's what the devil loves to focus on, is if he can get into your head, and if he can get you to imagine that you're something other than a child of God, as part of his royal priesthood, he's got you down. You can put up the shield of faith all you want. You can have the shoes and you can have the belt on, but if he's gotten into your mind, it's over. On the back of your notes here today, I printed out, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Neil Anderson, but this is one of the things that throughout the past years have helped me that I keep going back to, because the devil does want to twist our minds. If he can get us to have stinking thinking and negative thinking and nasty thinking, he paralyzes us from being effective in the kingdom of God. So he talks about, and there's a list of all these scriptures that you could use, but understand that your identity in Christ is essential for your success in living in victory. This, folks, is important. Having your helmet of salvation on, knowing your identity, is important. Now look on the left there, Satan's lie versus God's truth. See, when Satan lies, you are a sinner because you sin. God's truth is you are a saint, one declared righteous by God, who sins. What Satan lies again is your identity comes from what you have done. Now I'm at the point of my life where that kind of word comes out. It's a midlife crisis and I don't know when I'm going to get through it. It seems like I'm starting to age fast. Everything is kind of on the down road. It seems like I went from my 20s to 40s now, and I mean the end is in sight. Deb, I really... We're all doomed to die. Yes, we are. But we have a future hope. But, you know, Satan's lies are, you know, have I really accomplished enough in my life as a pastor? Have I really done as much as Billy Graham has done, or the pastor down the street? Have I loved people enough? And these kinds of things plague my mind constantly during this time of life. I understand it's a time of life and God's going to get me through it. But it's Satan's lie. Our identity doesn't come what you have done. It comes from what God has done for you. Helmet of salvation. Thirdly, Satan's lie is your identity comes from what people say about you. Wow. If my identity came from that, I would be all sorts of things, wouldn't you? I'd be an idiot. I'd be a dork. I would be this. I would be a stupid kid. I would be whatever. But my identity doesn't come from what people say. It comes from what God says about me. Fourth lie is our behavior tells you what you believe about yourself. And that's all wrong, because your belief about yourself determines your behavior. So if you believe about yourself the way God believes about you, you have power to live a holy life and overcome those issues and addictions that you're dealing with in your life. The reason why we get stuck in those addictions is that we think that's what we are, that's who we are, that's what we're all about. But when we realize what God says about us, that gives us a power and strength. The devil can't get to our heads because we have on the helmet of salvation, and we're sure about God's gift of salvation in our lives. Secondly, not only our testimony, but let's talk about the future part of this, is my destiny. I will be saved later and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. I think this is perhaps one of the main things that in my grandparents and maybe other generations that I wonder why they're more mentally stable and mentally solid. And oh yeah, they deal with discouragement and depression just like everybody else. But it's because they know this is a short time. It's because they focus on the fact that I'm saved, but this is an eternal thing. I'm not fully saved yet. God is going to redeem me. There's going to be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain. Is my destiny that I will be saved later. That's a helmet. I mean, we're putting up both sides here. We got the testimony. We got the destiny. That's the full helmet. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. If you turn there. You didn't know that there's another part in Scripture. How many knew that there was another part that talks about this armor? It says, but since we have belonged to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. He's saying, encourage one another. Your destiny is not the wrath of God, and we all surely deserve the wrath of God. We all surely deserve to burn in hell. But because He sent Jesus, because of that grace thing that God grants us, the gift of salvation, surely we have a hope. So the next time you get down, the next time the devil messes with your mind, you start talking about your future to yourself and to others. You start talking about, I don't have to face wrath because of God's mercy. I don't have to forever be separated from this awesome, wonderful God that I serve. Suddenly, the things that are around me that I'm going through, this gives me a catalyst of confidence. This is my security, my motivation, and my encouragement to go on. You know, it's like any roller coaster enthusiasts here, a few. Wow, this is sad. I mean, there's only a couple in here. You know, I tease Tanya when we go to the amusement park, and she's okay if she's hanging on. Like, I mean, there's like marks in that metal bar when we're done with the ride. But after I've ridden a while, I know that I have a safety harness, and I trust that that bar's not going to go up. And it's such a feeling of freedom to put your hands up in the air, even though sometimes they say not to, because there's that chance the belt would break. Right? But what frees me to lift? It's the fact that I feel secure that I'm not going to fly up out of that roller coaster. And although a roller coaster could break, we know that we serve a God who is faithful, and when He says you're saved, you're saved. When He says you have a future hope, you have a future hope, and that ought to make us as Christians some of the most confident people that there ever was. I spent a lot of my Christian life not being confident, not being strong in the power of God, worrying about what other people think, because I failed to focus on the fact that I'm secure in Jesus Christ. And I don't know what to tell people that believe that you can lose your salvation because the seatbelt can come off at any time. I don't know about that. The Word doesn't teach that. But God's word says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of redemption. It is a salvation that's based on the work of God. And if God says something, he does it. If salvation were based on me and what I've done in my life, yeah, I would lose it. But it's not. It's based on the power of God. It's based on the one who died not a cheap death, but an expensive death. The precious blood of Jesus who died for me to save me and secure my salvation. It's my motivation. And how about the happiness of hope? See, my destination is sure no matter what setbacks I'm facing right now in my life. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. These words are in a song that we sing sometimes. It's an older praise song. But I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. Help me out because I have a bad voice. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. You say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. You ever wonder why it's so many yeses in that song? It is because we are confessing our belief in the truth above the lies that the devil is feeding our minds. But look what he says in this text here today. And I just lost my place. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. Here we go. We are afflicted in every way. Every way. Wow, that's pretty extreme. He's going to come at all angles and all ways. But not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Do we have things in our life that are confusing? Yeah. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. Let me say that again. We also believe, so we also speak. The devil tells you the lies. We also believe, so also we speak. The devil tells you a lie, so also we believe, so also we speak. We need to get in the habit of speaking to ourselves, speaking out loud, declaring the truths of God's word, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. Do you believe that? For it is all for your sake, so that this grace extends to more and more people. And it may be increased, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Perplexed, persecuted, confused, pushed down. But what we believe, we speak. And because of what we believe, we speak, it results in a praise party of thanksgiving. That's why he says, count it all joy, brothers, when you encounter trials, because you know the end result. It results in a lifestyle of praise and worship in the midst of the trouble that is going on. Now that's power to protect the mind. This is not the end. It's not defeat. Anybody lost some spiritual battles in your life? I have. The devil had some little minor victories in some areas in my life, and I'm sure he has with yours, but it's not the end. It is not the end. And we need to get in the habit of speaking to ourselves that truth. Kent Hughes says, the helmet of salvation assures that whatever happens, we will be saved and experience victory in Christ. That's a truth. That's a horse to ride on. That's a truth to ride on. So when we understand that this salvation is knowing who we are in Christ, and I would encourage you, when you have free time is to go and look at yourself in a mirror and read these scriptures. John 1:12, I am God's child. Especially when you start going down the tubes with your thinking. Maybe Tanya's going to have to remind me to do this more often because I have negative thinking. A lot of times. Because the devil knows if he can knock me out, he can knock a whole bunch of other people out too. But you might say, well, I'm not a pastor. If he can knock you out, he can ruin the testimony that you have with the people you've been witnessing to, or your family members. So it's important. I'm God's child. I'm Christ's friend. I've been justified. I'm united with the Lord. I'm bought. I'm secure. All the scriptures on security. I'm significant. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the branch. I'm the vine. I'm a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. All those things, speak those in the devil's face. Speak them in your face. Because sometimes we're our own worst enemies. So when we look and put all this together in our closing today, what are the results if we take up this identity with what we believe we speak? First of all, when worry and fear comes, we're going to have courage to fight the enemy. And I just want to, if you could turn real quickly to these passages, we're going to go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction. So did you realize that when you stand firm with the helmet of salvation on, you're holding up a big old sign to the devil, your destruction is coming. You're holding a big old sign up to evil, your destruction is coming. But of your salvation and that from God, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now here I still have. So there's the conflict, there's the battle, but He says there's no reason to be frightened. Why? Because we know our end. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. You might hurt me, you might talk about me, I might be going through trials, I might have experienced loss in my life, I might have experienced extreme loss like Job, but I know that I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, and that speaks a word to all the principalities and powers and all evil power structures in the whole earth that destruction is coming. You don't even have to tell people the end is coming. If we stand firm in our salvation, they're going to know it. Secondly, not only will we have courage, but we'll have clarity. We'll have a clearness about us when the smoke of the battle rises up. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, as now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Storms of life can get confusing. How many have driven on the highway when there's a downpour? That can be very scary. Now, there's one lady in this church that will no longer ride with me because it was raining one time. She'll raise her hand and let you know. It was raining so hard and I was booking it down the highway, probably almost going the speed limit, which she thought I should have been going 25 or 30. I was so sure that I could see what was going on and having, and you know, it was okay. But there's times where it's worse, where you can't see anything in front of you at all. And our spiritual lives become like that. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we have a clear focus and a picture of where we're going. Usually I'll get behind one of those semis or whatever with a blinker on, and I can see, well, hopefully they're going to stay on the road. So that will guide me through the storm. The problem is that too many Christians like me are looking at all the garbage that's going on around us, and things kind of get messy. He says the only way to run the race is to look to Jesus, look what He's done in enduring the cross, and keep right on a trucking. The third thing is confidence to go into battle and stay in the battle. Romans 8 talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. Shall death, shall famine, shall sword. You can go through and read that all yourself. Nothing can separate. That's what we cling to. And then last of all is having a life of celebration of our future hope, no matter how bad it is now. And there's scriptures that you can look up later. So we need this helmet of salvation. We need the helmet of salvation, especially the arsenal of God's Word that's on the back of your notes, of who we are in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, Christ Community Church, that when we see each other getting down and discouraged, that we are going to be here to remind each other about our future. We are going to be here to remind each other about what God says about us. The more we speak truth, the more we speak it out, I think we're going to start getting it. One of the most effective teaching mechanisms is when you repeat something three or four different times in four different ways, you finally get it. That's why in the Old Testament, God says, write it on your eyelids, on those little things that you wear so that you can see it. Write the scripture on your doorpost. Put it around your house. Because we must remind ourselves the devil so stealthily wants to get our minds messed up. He's got us. So let's pray today. Heavenly Father, first of all, we come before You and we thank You for this gift of grace that saves us and continues to save us. Lord, we come before You as Your people and we ask Your forgiveness for allowing lies, for allowing negativity, for allowing false identities to come into our minds. And forgive us for living according to those things. Lord, I pray right now that You begin to clear up my mind, clear up the minds of my brothers and sisters, because You said in Your Word, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, Lord, we ask that You would take the words of truth of what You say about us and let it wash our minds, let it reprogram our minds. Let us transform us from the inside out. Consume us, Lord, from the inside out. Lord, we pray today. In Jesus' mighty, matchless, powerful name we pray. And I want to give you just a moment today. And if God is moving on your heart today, and perhaps you're here and you have never received Jesus Christ, or you thought you had, but you really don't know for sure, I want to give you that opportunity today to say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. I receive Your gift. It's not about me. I believe You died and rose again. And I confess that I'm a sinner and I need Your saving grace. Would you do that if that's you? And how about if you are a believer and the helmet is sitting on the shelf, dusty somewhere, you say, God, it's time for me to put this thing back on. I want you to just do your business with God in that area. Lord, we love you. We thank you for giving us everything that we need to stay protected, to live a godly life. And God, I pray that in this coming week that myself and our brothers and sisters, we would renounce these lies. We renounce these bad ways of thinking. And we'd once again be restored with the joy of our salvation. You know, we ought to sing that song. They sang that at the beginning, I'll Fly Away. But we didn't really sing that with very much exuberant. Now I hope that you will, because one day we will fly away. And this is the joy that holds us together. Even though we know what that song is talking about, the words are kind of simple. But let's stand and sing that and put our hands together this morning like we know it and like we believe it and like we mean it. That we will meet with Jesus. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, all glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.